We continue in the Beatitudes this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, found in the Pew Bible on page 802. And then Luke chapter 22, page 876, and John 14, page 896. Hear the word of God. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. And from Luke 22, beginning at verse 19, He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it in pieces and gave it to His disciples, saying, "This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." After supper, He took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is a new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with My blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." And from John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, "There is more than enough room in My Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be where I am with Me. And you know the way to where I am going." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The voice is from a 4-year-old girl. "Mommy, I'm so thirsty. I want a drink." Susanna Petrosian heard her daughter's pleas, but there was nothing she could do. She and 4-year-old Gaini were trapped beneath tons of collapsed concrete and steel. Beside them in the darkness lay the body of Susanna's sister-in-law, Karina, one of 55,000 victims in 1988 of the worst earthquake to ever hit Soviet Armenia. Calamity never knocks before it enters. And this time it had torn the door down. Susanna had gone to Karina's house to try on a dress. The quake hit 11 minutes after they arrived there. She just removed the dress and was clad only in stockings and a slip when the 5th-floor apartment in which they were gathered began to tremble and shake. Susanna grabbed her daughter, but she'd only gotten a few steps when the floor opened up and they tumbled in. Susanna, Gaini, and Karina fell into the basement, with the 9-story apartment crumbling around them. "Mommy, I need a drink. Please give me something." There's nothing for Susanna to give. She was trapped. She was lying flat on her back. The concrete panel 18 inches above her head. A crumpled water pipe, both of which kept her shoulders down and kept her from standing. Feeling around in the darkness, she found a 24-ounce jar of blackberry jam and gave it to Gaini. She consumed the whole jar. It only lasted 2 days. "Mommy, I'm so thirsty." Susanna believed she would die, but she wanted her daughter to live. She found a dress, perhaps the one that she had just tried on, and used it to make a bed for her daughter. She took off her stockings, even though it was terribly cold there in the wreckage, and wrapped them around her daughter to keep her warm. The two were trapped for 8 days before they were rescued. Because of the darkness, Susanna lost track of time. Because of the cold, she lost feeling in her fingers and toes. Because of her inability to move, she lost hope. "I was just waiting to die," she told the rescuers when they finally broke in to where they were. She began to hallucinate. Her thoughts wandered. A merciful sleep occasionally would remove her from the horror of the atonement, but sleep would be brief. Something always awakened her: the cold, the hunger, or most often the voice of her daughter. "Mommy, I'm thirsty." At some point in that eternal night, Susanna had an idea. She remembered a TV program about explorers in the Arctic. One was dying. And even though surrounded by snow and ice, they couldn't get anything to drink. And so the one man cut his palm so his friend could drink his blood and survive. And Susanna said, "I had no water, no fruit juice, no liquids, but then it was that I remembered I had my blood." Her groping fingers, numb from the cold, found a piece of shattered glass, and she sliced her left index finger and gave it to her daughter to suck. The drops of blood weren't enough. "Please, Mommy, some more. Cut another finger." And so Susanna cut another finger. She had no idea how many times she cut herself. She only knows that if she hadn't, Gaini would have died. Her blood was her daughter's only hope. Now the voice changes. It's the voice of Jesus. "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." The claim must have startled the apostles that night as they sat celebrating the Passover. They were familiar with the story. It had been celebrated for hundreds of years. How that back in Egypt, at the end of their bondage, at the end of their slavery, they'd been directed to take a lamb, to kill the lamb, to collect its blood, and to paint the doorposts with the blood of the lamb. And that night their firstborn were spared as the death angel passed over Egypt. And the next morning, they were rescued. They were set free. For thousands of generations, the Jews had observed that ceremony by sacrificing the lambs. Every year, the blood would be poured. Every year, the deliverance would be celebrated. The law called for the spilling of blood, the blood of a lamb, and that would be enough. It would be enough to fulfill the law. It would be enough to satisfy the command. It would be enough to justify God's justice. But it would not be enough to take away sin. Because the writer of Hebrews said, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Sacrifices could only offer temporary solutions. But only God could give an eternal one. So He did. Beneath the rubble of a fallen world, He pierced His hands. In the wreckage of a collapsed humanity, He ripped open His side. His children were trapped, so He gave His blood. It was all He had. His friends were gone. His strength was waning. His possessions had been gambled for right at His feet. Even His Father had turned His head. His blood was all He had. His blood was all it took. Jesus once said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink." Admission of thirst doesn't come easy for us. False fountains pacify our cravings. for things and pleasure. But there comes a time when pleasure doesn't satisfy. There comes a dark hour in the life of everyone when the world caves in and we're trapped in the rubble of reality, parched and dying. Some would rather die than admit it. Others admit it and escape death. God, I need help. So the thirsty come, and what a ragged lot we are. Bound together by broken dreams and collapsed promises, and we are very thirsty. Not thirsty for fame, possessions, passion, or romance. We've drunk from those pools. They're salt water in the desert. They don't bring life, they kill. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness believe they cannot live until they see righteousness. Righteousness. That's it. That's what we are thirsty for. We're thirsty for a clean conscience. We crave a clean slate. We yearn for a clean, fresh start. We pray for a hand that will reach into the dark cavern of our world and do for us the one thing we cannot do for ourselves. Make us right again. Mommy, I'm so thirsty, Guy 80 pleaded. It was then that I remembered I had my blood, Susanna exclaimed. And the hand was cut and the blood was poured and the child was saved. God, I'm so thirsty, we pray. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they shall be filled. She didn't know it back in 1898 when she wrote When We All Get to Heaven, but Eliza Hewitt gives the close to my message to you this morning. It's a song of deep appreciation for the eternal joy and fellowship that awaits believers in heaven, of those whose thirst for righteousness has been quenched by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And it talks about hope, the hope of reunion with Christ and the saints. Draws inspiration from the passage in John that we read. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you I'm going to go and prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. Our dad, mine and Kyle's, was a carpenter. He died in 1996, and Mom grieved until the day that she went home to glory in 1999. And about 2 days before Mom died, she talked to me about longing to go home to see Jesus. And I said, Mom, there are two carpenters working on your house. When they get it finished, Jesus will come for you. And He did. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, Jesus said, shed to set many free from their sins. And the hand was pierced and the blood was poured and His children are saved. And so we sing when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. It's number 501. Let's sing it together.